Hello, Packers fans, and welcome into the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood. We are catching Ryan right before he gets on a plane and jets across to London. I think he'll be racing the Packers team there, Ryan. Is that
leaving on a jet plane? That's the only thing you'll ever get from me on this podcast.
I did not know there would be singing involved. I did not approve of this.
Sometimes I just go rogue.
But yeah, I know you're getting ready to head out. You will land what will be Friday morning London time, and team won't be too far behind you, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I'm very much on a same type of schedule as they are in terms of making this trip. They're leaving after practice Thursday. They're at Lambeau Field today, getting on a plane. And they're basically walking off the plane to go to practice. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is, and this is, you know, I've never flown internationally. For all the domestic flights that you make in this job, this is the first time I've ever been to Europe. And the thing that I keep hearing over and over and over and over again, as someone who's getting into London 6:50 a.m. Friday, London time, that's 12:50 in the morning Green Bay time, is you cannot go to sleep. When you arrive, you have to stay up or the jet lag monster will get you. So that's what the Packers are doing. They're not going to go to sleep. If you're sleeping, it's on the plane. And they are and that's what Matt LaFleur said today. His goal for this flight is to sleep. He's not going to be watching film. He's going to be trying to sleep. They're going to get off the plane, go to practice, and try to adjust their body clocks enough to be ready to play an 8:30 a.m. Central Time kickoff Sunday. That's 2:30 London time. It's going to be an adjustment, or in the word that Mercedes Lewis, who is the definitive authority on all things London games, having played most of his career with the Jacksonville Jaguars, told me, it's a beast. This is a beast of a road trip, and it's not easy. From double the hydration, you know, Dean Lowry was sipping water when I talked to him at his locker yesterday, and said, ordinarily, most weeks, he'll have 3 or 4 water bottles a day. This week, he has 5 to 6 water bottles a day. To the time change, it is a bear.
That's a good point about the hydration and getting ready, and Mercedes Lewis having done this a lot already as well. So then when they get to London, like you said, they'll practice on Friday. Aaron Rodgers said on Wednesday, you know, that basically that's the same thing, that you just have to sleep on the way over. You have to knock yourself out. He said he has some tricks for long flights when he needs to sleep on the plane, but he wasn't going to share them and give the Giants any ideas. And I didn't know there was anything beyond just, you know, taking melatonin and going to sleep.
Well, for Aaron Rodgers, maybe.
Maybe so. I might not need to know all the stuff he uses. But they'll get there Friday. They'll practice. I think what's going to be interesting, too, is that this is the first road trip for a decent number of these Packers players to London. And Matt LaFleur made the comment that the previous trips he's taken, he stayed in the hotel room the whole time. Keyshawn Nixon was telling me yesterday that he was able to get out of the hotel and tour a little bit on the last time he was there. Rasul Douglas, though, said that when he went with the Philadelphia Eagles, he stayed in the hotel room. Except he went out to get fish and chips just to see what they were. So, I mean, Ryan, from when you've talked to the guys, is there any sort of like sense from them on like, are any of them planning on being tourists, or are they totally focused on the game the whole time?
You know, what was stunning to me, Kenny Clark, who turned 27 years old Tuesday, by the way, he said that he's never been out of the country. I was shocked by that. This is his first time that he's ever going to be out of the country. He said that he's going to be walking around London and just to see it. But for the most part, this is not a tourist trip. This is a business trip. And it's one that how a player feels about it very much depends on the player. It was very split. Alan Lazard, who was a big soccer fan, said this is about the dopest thing. He used the word dopest, about the dopest thing that he could imagine, playing where the Tottenham Hotspurs play. short of having Lambeau Field as your home field. Rasul Douglas, who, as you pointed out, his second season in the NFL when he was with the Eagles, he went over, and he's not at all thrilled to be coming back. I'm going to read for you the clean down version of what he told me about this trip. It effing sucked. You don't get to do nothing over there. You just effing get on a plane, get over there and effing practice, and then you play again. That's how it feels. So you, no mincing words there on how Rasul Douglas feels about this London trip.
Rasul Douglas doesn't mince words on just about anything. So no surprise there. When they do get there, though, Spoon, they still got to play a game against a 3-1 Giants team, a Giants team that looks a lot better than I think a lot of us anticipated. And a lot of that has to do with the return of Saquon Barkley, who looks perhaps better than ever. He currently leads the league in rushing. We're quoting a lot of Rasul Douglas today. This is how Rasul Douglas described Saquon Barkley yesterday. He said, he's like A.J. Dillon. Like, when you look at A.J. Dillon and how big he is and he can run you over, but with just speed, just ridiculous speed. And I said, so, like, combining A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones? And he said, yeah, combine them and then more speed, just more and more speed. He said, you just don't realize how fast he is. That's sort of been this defense's Achilles heel as well, is the run defense so far this year. I mean... when they have in the past had one running back to focus on and they knew that that was going to be the entire game plan, they've been able to focus in on that running back. But is Saquon just too good, too fast, too strong? Basically, how many yards is Saquon going to run on them for on Sunday?
Well, we'll find out. I don't think Saquon Barkley can beat them on his own. I think, you know, the Giants – maybe 3-1, but you know, they won a game in Tennessee that they should have lost. Last second field goal was that would have beaten them, was missed. They beat Carolina at home, you know, not a great deal. They lost to the Cowboys at home and they beat the Bears at home. So it's not like they're a great tested team. You know, they're fortunate to be 3-1. I think they're probably really well coached by Brian Daboll, much better than they were a year ago under Joe Judge. But they're not a, you know, they're not a dominant team or really anybody that the Packers shouldn't be able to beat. They're tougher when Daniel Jones is the quarterback because he's mobile and can do a little bit of RPO and get out and run. And it gives them another threat with Barkley. But, you know, if the Packers aren't playing eight men in the box the entire game against Barkley, then Joe Barry should be looking for another job. There's no reason to really worry. Daniel Jones, if he plays, he practiced a little bit. He's not going to be able to move around. Tyrod Taylor, their backup, is going to be out. He's got a concussion. And then Davis Webb is another guy who could be mobile, move around. But, you know, he's a third-string quarterback who's on their practice squad. And he knows Brian Daboll's offense. He's been in with the Buffalo Bills for, I think he spent 4 years there, 3 or 4 years. So he knows the offense and can run it. It's just, you know, at some point, I just don't know that they can match up talent-wise with the Packers.
If it is Davis Webb that is going to be quarterbacking for the New York Giants, I think that Packers fans have a little bit of gun-shy right now when they hear third-string quarterback because Bailey Zappe came in on Sunday with the Patriots and did okay. But Bailey Zappe can move a little bit. They could get him out of the pocket. They could send him on boots. Doesn't seem like you can really do that as much with Davis Webb. Can that work in the Packers' favor if he's a statue?
No, I don't think he is a statue. I think he can move. I don't think that that's – I think he can do all the things that Brian Daboll wants him to do in that offense. I don't I don't think he will be, he's not like a 90-year-old guy, you know, like Brian Hoyer. I think he could be like a little bit like Bailey Zappi. He really could if he plays, but he's not going to beat you. And so they, unlike last week during those two drives, when they let New England just run it down their throat, they can't let that happen against Barkley. They have to do everything in their ability to stop him.
That's fair. I was looking up his stats last night and I couldn't really find any sort of rushing stats. So that's why I assumed that, but I should not have assumed. He did play at Texas Tech when Cliff Kingsbury was there, and that's the offense he ran. So that makes sense that he would have to be able to move. The third string quarterback, though, is not the only question mark that this Giants team has right now. Let me pull up their injury report from yesterday. They're missing quite a lot of guys, or have the potential to miss quite a lot of guys. They had a lot not participating. Cordell Flott didn't participate. Kenny Golladay didn't participate. Richie James didn't participate. Let's see. Julian Love. Henry Mondo. Aziz Ojulari did not participate. Nor Tyrod Taylor. And so, I mean, if you're the Giants, Spoon or Ryan, I'll let either one of you hop in here. I mean, is there someone that you have to have back to kind of have the best shot against this Packers team?
So they could be without four starters on defense. Essentially, you know, Cordell Flott is a nickel that he's dealing with a calf. I don't know if he's going to play. Julian Love's got a starting safety. He's got a concussion. He's probably not going to play. Aziz Ojulari's one of their starting linebackers. He doesn't seem like he's going to play. So they are going to be hurting on defense. And, you know, the big thing is they're going to have to stop Dillon and Jones. And that's going to be their number one goal. Their secondary is limited, but they still have Adoree Jackson, you know, who's a very good corner. Should be able to, you know, handle Alan Lazard or whoever he has to handle on that side. They are really banged up, and their wide receiver position's even worse. You know, if for some reason, you know, they lost Sterling Shepard last week, if Kenny Golladay can't play and Richie James can't play, they are hurting quite a bit. So, I mean, their receivers are been pretty bad all year anyways, but to not have any is even worse.
Well, that's the point for me on the offensive side, that for the Giants offense, it really just matters if Saquon Barkley is full go or not, and he is. I don't think any of these other offensive players on the Giants injury report, even the quarterback, really moves the needle, because it's not like Daniel Jones is lighting up scoreboards when he's healthy. This is a Giants team that's going to run the football and ride its back no matter who's around him. And the Packers are an offense right now. The big question for them, with everything that Spoon just laid out, is whether or not they can offensively take advantage of a Giants defense that's not at full strength. But from everything we've seen with this Packers offense through four games, they're not lighting the scoreboard up either. So it's most likely going to be a type of game that we've seen through the first four, which is low scoring, a run-oriented game. And that's a game that favors the Giants because they've got Saquon Barkley. Not saying that's going to favor them on the scoreboard, but that's the type of tempo, that's the type of pace, the style that the Giants want to play. Is low scoring, run oriented. So yeah, if the Packers can take advantage of the Giants' injuries on defense and get a cushion early and make this not a run oriented game, that favors them. But if they can't, if it's close, they've got Saquon Barkley and whoever's around him, it doesn't move the needle all that much.
Well, I thought it was interesting that LaFleur on Monday mentioned a Giants player that Giants fans seem to love and Giants coaches never use. I wondered if there was a little bit of gamesmanship there with Kadarius Toney, who I got to cover in college and is a dynamic guy, but he's had hamstring issues and different things like that. But he didn't show up on the injury report. It just was interesting to me that LaFleur like specifically mentioned him, since he has not really been used much by the Giants.
He was on the injury report. Hamstring limited.
Yeah, he was limited. Another guy, Darius Slayton, who's been underachiever, will play as well. This guy's got a lot of talent. I mean, he was there 2-3 years ago. He was their number one wide receiver, one of their top receivers, and looked to be like he was going to be a star, but he has kind of fallen apart. I don't know what the situation is with their wide receivers, but it's kind of all just, you know, they've all sort of found a place in Brian Daboll's doghouse.
He just wants the whole team to revolve around Saquon, then. That must be it.
Yeah, well, Daniel Jones was a factor in the run game, too. I mean, the guy was averaging, I think, like 6 yards a carry and had a couple touchdowns. He had almost 200 yards rushing, or has almost 200 yards rushing. So that's a big part of their game, too. And if they can't, you know, if he starts and can't move around, that's probably advantageous to the Packers.
Yeah, because they've been able to at least get home with four. And you know, Rashawn Gary has been on a tear. Preston Smith right there behind him. So, I mean, does it feel like they can at least, especially if they kind of keep things behind the sticks, then just control this game, even with a suspect rush defense, Spoon?
Well, yeah, they have to keep them in bad down and distance. They got to swarm Barkley and kind of do what they did to Leonard Fournette, which was completely take him out of the game. And they're not going to be able to do it the way they did it against the Patriots, which was to keep both safeties back. I mean, they are going to have to bring someone up, and I wouldn't be surprised if they play three inside linebackers occasionally, just to throw, you know, a wrench at them.
I think you'll see a fair bit of Dace. Look, this is where the Giants are different than the Bucs. The Bucs aren't used to being terrible in the pass game. They just didn't have their top three receivers. It was a different week for them. It drastically changed their offense. That's something they weren't used to. The Giants are the 31st ranked NFL passing offense. They're the number one rushing offense. They're always terrible in the pass game, and it hasn't prevented them from being the league's top rushing offense. This is just what they do. So whoever's the quarterback, however the receivers feel, it's not a different week for them. They can't throw the ball and it doesn't stop them from running.
No, but it doesn't. They also don't score 30 points a game. You know, they're not a high scoring team. So go ahead. I mean, I'm sure the Packers are like, go ahead. If he wants to run for 200 yards, as long as they're keeping him out of the end zone, then it's probably not a bad day. But, you know, they've scored 21, 19, and 20 points in their victories.
But Spoon, how do you keep them from rushing for 200 yards?
You don't have to if they're not scoring touchdowns.
No, I mean, but I'm sure that they don't want to give up 200 yards. No, and there's a way that can be avoided. There's a way that you can avoid doing that.
Yeah.
If you get an early 2-touchdown lead, which is there for the taking with the injury situation with the Giants defense. If you do that, that's their best run defense this week, is an early lead. Correct. Because if it's even throughout, Saquon Barkley's getting his yards. This Packers run defense isn't stopping that from happening if it's even throughout. But if you get an early lead, he's not going for 200 rushing yards.
Well, and especially if you're doing it running the ball and you're eating up the clock and you're keeping him on the bench, I think that's going to be the recipe for winning this game. But I also think they're going to have to mess with their personnel. They're going to have to, you know, change their personnel around to account for Barkley. And, you know, whether, you know, there's times that, like in the Vikings game where they used Chris Barnes along with Campbell and Quay Walker, you know, whether they use Isaiah McKenzie to do McDuffie. That, or McDuffie, I'm sorry, or the new guy they just signed, Eric Wilson, I don't know. But I don't think you can just sit there in your light box, in your six-man box, and or seven-man box and take this guy on.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fair amount of base.
How much would having Adrian Amos back make a difference in that scenario, Ryan?
Well, that's what he does. He's a box safety that makes a lot of plays around the line of scrimmage, and it certainly would help. I don't know the chances of him playing this week. You know, he was at practice in the rehab group on the sideline during stretch. So it's not like he's been out of sight, out of mind. That said, you know, he got dinged up pretty good last week. So it wouldn't be a surprise with the London flight and the travel if they just left him home. I wouldn't be surprised by that. But it doesn't change the fact that, you know, this is the most – I think this is going to be the most base defense that they've played all season. They've been a ton of nickel. A ton of their true nickel with two true inside linebackers, and Quay Walker's got a lot of run. Whether it's Adrian Amos or Rudy Ford at safety, it doesn't change how they line up in the box.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is that if you recall, John Runyon had a concussion, and he was out on Wednesday, and then he ended up playing on Sunday, right?
Right.
I think that's correct. But I wonder with the stuff that happened in Miami, how careful medical staffs are going to be now about concussions. Are they going to be like, oh, you know, yeah, he qualifies, but let's just hold him out for a week.
You read my mind, Spoon. I was about to ask you, having been in this league having covered this league for a long time, do you think Tua Tagovailoa's situation could actually make a difference in how they treat concussions?
I think it will temporarily till everybody forgets about it. But, you know, I don't know what Brian Hoyer's injury was, but the minute he went to the locker room, I'm like, he's not coming back. You know, same with Amos. that's just not going to happen that soon after that situation. So I kind of agree with Ryan that there's a chance Amos just stays home, but we'll see.
I want to play contrarian just a little bit. And the reason why the Tua situation was so shocking is that it's just something we don't see anymore. It used to be the norm. It used to be, we see a guy get woozy on the field, he comes right back all the time. But the NFL landscape has significantly changed in recent years to where you don't see that happen all that lot. That's why the shock factor was what it was, because it's something that was different than how it's typically treated. I mean, it very much went against the grain of what has become standard protocol. And so I don't know that it changes all that much, more as the change to me was that they let him play, they change in how they treated Tua more than the league's got to like adjust. Like, the league has done a decent job of, if a guy's woozy on the field, that guy's not playing. That's just the way it is. It's become ingrained institutional knowledge that's just the way of the league now. And for whatever reason, the Dolphins discarded that. That to me was what was most shocking.
Well, I don't know if I agree that every guy who's woozy doesn't play. I mean, these guys don't always tell the truth about how they're feeling. And I am sure that guys go back in who are concussed.
I'm sure of that. But how many times do we see a guy that can't walk on the field go back into the game?
No,
we don't see that.
But the point is, the point is that if you don't think every team doctor in the NFL is gun shy now about putting a guy back in the game or bringing him back too early after that scenario, I just think you're going to see them being really careful about concussions till the Tua thing kind of blows over.
Yeah.
If the visual evidence is not there on the field, I don't know that it changes all that much. I hate to be the pessimist here, but I don't know that it changes all that much without the visual evidence of the guy can't walk on the field. And I'm with you, Spoon. Behind closed doors in those in the training room, yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot of fudging of the baseline testing, and that wouldn't be a surprise to anybody. But when the visual evidence is there, without that, I don't know if it changes that much. That would, the thing with Adrian Amos, the visual evidence was there. He was woozy on the field. He was doubled over on the sideline. So that there's video of that. Like that was real. Because of that, that might make it more unlikely with Adrian Amos. But without that visual evidence, I just don't know that much changes.
I tend to agree with Spoon here a little bit, that while Tua is still on everyone's mind, all the team doctors are going to be a little gun shy. But to your point as well, Ryan, there was evidence that Amos was definitely woozy. He was out of it. Talked to him for a minute in the locker room on Wednesday, just asking how he was feeling. He said he felt a lot better, but you know, what are these guys going to say? Oh, I feel awful. There's no way I can play on Sunday. They're not going to say that. Will be interesting to kind of see where he's at come Sunday and how he feels after the plane ride. Cause you know, that's a lot of the air pressure's different. It's all different. You land, you're in jet lag. That's all things that can mess with the concussion.
Assuming he goes. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he stays in Green Bay at all.
Right. That's a very good point as well. They seem to do okay with Rudy Ford in his place. Of course, you know, it's not Adrian Amos, but there wasn't like an attacking of Rudy Ford necessarily by the offense. Of course, that was also the Patriots. Now teams have had a week to prepare for Rudy Ford to possibly be in there at safety. So could see a difference there. I know that we are moving right along. Ryan, you've got a plane to catch. Spoon, you and I have practice to get to. So guys, I'm just going to do a final 60 seconds. You don't have to give me your score, but just kind of your overall prediction for this game. Ryan?
Mets in two. Oh, I'm sorry. No, not the wild card. No, look, I think that, like I said, it all comes down to whether or not what kind of game it's going to be comes down to whether or not the Packers get an early lead. Not all 3-1s are the same. You know, the Giants have beaten three mediocre to bad football teams, and the Packers have beaten Tom Brady on the road, yes, without a receiving core, but Tom Brady on the road against a very good Bucs defense, and Bill Belichick, yes, with a third string quarterback, but it's still Bill Belichick. I think that the Packers, given the injury situation of the Giants, given the fact that there's a lot of deficiencies with this Giants team, even with Saquon Barkley, that this is a game that they should win.
Spoon?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the Packers approach this game offensively. So I forgot to mention when we were going over the injuries that Aaron Robinson, one of their starting corners, was put on injured reserve this week. So they're without two starters in the secondary, possibly three of their main corners, depending on what happens with Flott. So do they rely on their run game, or do they actually try to air it out against these guys and see what they can do in the pass game? You know, the Packers. I mean, they're starting to see some more production in the pass game. It's been mostly off of play action and mostly off of run alerts and things like that. But maybe they line up and they try to establish a real bona fide passing game like they used to have. I think that's going to be an interesting aspect of this game.
You know, something I heard described yesterday by an analyst, and I think it's something that like I consciously knew, but I never really thought about it in these terms, is that the offense off of the RPO benefits younger receivers who need a little more time to get open because it takes the quarterback extra time to turn around. So it allows for longer route trees, which makes so much logical sense. I had just not really thought about it, how it would help a younger receiver in that sense. So
could continue. Yeah, and it pulls the linebackers up, right, and there's less chance of them being double covered. So it, when you can run the ball, a lot changes. But it, you know, at some point, some team's going to play their run game pretty well, and they're going to have to go back there and pass the ball. And so I'm curious to see if they can do it this week.
Well, whatever happens, Ryan and Pete will be there to cover it for you from London. Spoon and I will have coverage for you here from Green Bay. Make sure to follow Spoon's live blog leading up to, during, and after the game as well. And then, yeah, if you have anything in London that you want Ryan and Pete to try, tweet them all of your suggestions, blow them up, make them try all of the things and get immersed into the culture there. Ryan, we hope you have a safe flight.
Yep.
I'm sure we will talk to you as soon as you're on the ground there. Actually, not as soon as you're on the ground, because it'll be the middle of the night here.
Make sure to call you. Spoon, I'll give you a call at 1 a.m.
You are silenced, my friend.
Do not dare. Don't you dare. Well, we'll have full coverage for you on Packers News for the Packers' first international game taking on the New York Giants. Thanks so much for joining us. This has been the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com.